Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning, reacting to a gigantic 41-38 win for the Tennessee Titans. They win the AFC South for the first time since 2008. They've punched their ticket to the playoffs. They will be matched up in the first round against the Baltimore Ravens coming up on Sunday. So a huge day yesterday for the Titans, a huge day for Derrick Henry, all of it on the table. All show long, we'll get your reaction on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Then, of course, at 8 o'clock, our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us. We'll get his take on the big Titans win yesterday as well. So looking forward to that conversation with Corey coming up at 8. But Joe Rexrode, there's been this narrative out there, and I think it's more a national narrative than it is here locally, although we see it at times on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, that Ryan Tannehill, when push comes to shove, when you need to have a big moment in a clutch situation, in a playoff situation, whatever situation you want to throw out there, that he's not the guy to get it done. And I got to tell you, I think yesterday just proved that that is absolute hogwash. I mean, I know Derrick Henry had a monster day. He ran for 250 yards. But the throw by Ryan Tannehill to A.J. Brown, the 52-yarder that set up the game-winning field goal by Sam Sloman, that throw was perfect. You could not have thrown that ball any better. It was a huge call, a huge play in the game, obviously. And Tannehill, you mentioned his ability on the ground yesterday to affect the game. Yeah, I thought he was good through the air, had some drop passes that was working against him, but he made good decisions with the ball. But that dime that he dropped to A.J. Brown to set up that game-winning field goal, to me, should really shut people up about Tannehill not being clutch. That throw was about as clutch as it gets.
Yeah, and the drive before that, it's big throw after big throw. They were in third down a lot on that drive, and he made those throws over and over again. So, no, I mean, look, it's not – I mean, I think anybody who's watched him here who doesn't have a grudge against him has seen him, you know, can acknowledge that he does this, that he has done it before, that he is clutch, he's cool under pressure. I mean, you know, I mentioned the Steelers game earlier. You know, he got him into position – to go to overtime in that game. And, you know, Gaskowski missed. And right before that, he put a ball to Corey Davis in the end zone that maybe was an inch high, or else that game might be won. I mean, he's – earlier this year when they start 5-0, they weren't actually great on offense. They hadn't really hit their stride. But at the end of games, he did it over and over again. So that throw, though, it was stunning just because you don't see teams do it that often.
Right.
You know, when you're under 20 seconds, usually it's like, yeah, let's not mess around with, you know, what happens if you get a strip sack and now all of a sudden you just gave up the winning field goal. You know, you're at your 25. Yeah, let's not mess around. But, hey, you know at that point, you're the Titans. Like, you lose the coin flip and you might be hosed here. I mean, that's how things are going in this game. So, do you want to just go with the coin flip, or do you want to say, hey, where are we great? You know, I mean, I think that to me is, I know we'll talk about the Vrabel decision later that some people are going nuts about, but that's also a decision about, like, what are you good at and what are you bad at? You're great at something and you're terrible at something. So do what you're great at. But it was stunning to see him drop back. It was stunning, frankly, that there's not a safety there, right? I mean, yeah. Like, I don't understand how that could possibly be the case. You know, how you aren't protecting your backside there. But, you know, that's also – is that the Texans fully expect it to be Derrick Henry right there? Yeah. And they know how good he is, and golly, you might want to creep up a little bit. I don't know, but it wasn't play action. That's another knock on Tannehill, by the way. You know, it's all play action. That was straight drop back and let it rip, and filthy is a good way to put it.
It was filthy. It was an absolute dime by Ryan Tannehill. And to your point, I mean, what a call by Arthur Smith and that Titans coaching staff to go for that in that situation. Ryan Tannehill talked about the play call to get that game-winning field goal set up and just how big of a deal, how big of a call that was by the Titans. Here's what Ryan Tannehill had to say after the game.
You know, as the kickoff team was lining up, you know, what was the plan? I said, are we going? Are we taking overtime? He said, we're going. So that point was just get ready to go. We didn't know what call was coming in or what the defense was going to look like. But call came in, liked the call, and then got a good look for it from the defense. So, drop back, put it up, and AJ made a big play for us. And then obviously you mentioned the kick. I saw it hit off the post and my stomach sank. Then I saw it drop down, and I think it might have went in. And, sure enough, refs put their hands up, and it was in.
So that was Ryan Tannehill on the play call and the game-winning field goal after the game yesterday in Houston. That play call was great. Like you said, a good look by the Houston defense there. Not quite sure what they were doing. I guess Derrick Henry did have a lot to do with how they lined up defensively on that play. But a dime by Tannehill, A.J. Brown with a great catch there. And you're talking about an offensive coordinator there that I think has complete and total trust in his quarterback. Ryan Tannehill has been fantastic all season long, had a tough game against Green Bay. He responded in a huge way yesterday. And like you said, not only that throw, but the drive before to go ahead and set up that touchdown. I mean, just clutch play after clutch play. And I know Tannehill was playing great last year heading in the playoffs, and the way the games broke out, he didn't need to have a big game in the first couple of games. But I think if you've watched him this year, if you're a Titans fan, and you get into a situation where you've got to have a big throw in the playoffs, I don't know how you couldn't have a ton of confidence in Ryan Tannehill based on the type of year that he's had.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, he's right there. I mean, look, to me, this is the greatest QB season in Titans history. It is, Warren Moon had two. When you talk about franchise with that run and shoot offense, 90 and 91 had, high 4,000s, which at that time was insane.
Yeah.
And, there's like a George Blanda, some seasons going back. But with the Titans, I contend this is the greatest season. I think you disrespected Tannehill with your poll. I think Tannehill should have been the fourth option there. If he is the greatest QB season, which I say he is, and I think he certainly is one of the two.
People are free to put him in there. There's an other option, Joe. Don't just sit here and rip forth.
I wanted to include the Vince Young Offensive Rookie of the Year, the Ryan Tannehill, not only last season but this season, the Billy Volek season in which he played five games and threw for like 700 yards every game. I wanted to include everybody else outside of those three that were in the poll.
Well, people can write in, vote whatever they want, but most of these polls don't have an other option because you have options that you have to include. So you are now a Tana hater.
Just go back to saying OHIO and celebrating Ohio State's college football playoff victory.
Rex Road put up his first poll question that he's ever put up on his own Twitter account this weekend, and
did
now
you really?
he feels like now that he's like this Twitter poll police. That he wants to go around and start barking at other people. I get it, Joe. I respect the game.
That's a good point. I need to go look at that too. I put up a poll on who would Vols fans pick because Tom Herman got made available. So I threw him in along with Tom Allen and Hugh Freeze and who am I forgetting about?
Gus.
Gus.
Thank God.
And of course, I'll have to look at it today. Like Hugh Freeze is just blowing the field away. It's just incredible. I give up, man. But anyway, yes, now I'm a poll expert, and you disrespected Tannehill with this poll. So
okay.
O-H-I-O.
Very nice. Tannehill finishes the season 65.5% completion percentage, 3,819 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I'm with you, Joe. Like I think when you look at it, I know Steve McNair won a co-MVP in 2003. I understand that. I think this is the greatest season we've ever seen from a Titans quarterback. I realize the league is different. I mean, Steve McNair was not asked to do what Ryan Tannehill is asked to do in today's NFL with how much you've got to throw the ball and how heavy of an emphasis is on the passing game. But I agree. I think this is the greatest season we have ever seen from a Titans quarterback. And the offense, as we know, they're in a great spot right now. But again, Tannehill, there's going to be this narrative nationally that this is all about Derrick Henry. And obviously, the day after he gets done rushing for 2,000 yards on a season, That's going to be a huge talking point nationally today, and I get it. I understand why. But Tannehill, to me, still not quite getting the respect I think he deserves. And yesterday, that throw to A.J. Brown, I think, summed up exactly what he's meant to this team. He has been money ever since he took over starting quarterback, and it's no coincidence to me that this team has totally turned around and switched gears since he's been named starting quarterback.
And McNair did not have to score 30 points to have a chance to win games.
Right.
I mean, McNair was complimented by a good defense. And I know this always gets into, so do you penalize someone for having – it's a team game. But the bottom line is this offense badly needed. And you can say, yes, Derrick Henry is a huge help to Ryan Tannehill, but the reverse is true as well. He ends up not having the huge numbers. And if you want to talk about comparing to other quarterbacks, look, Deshaun Watson has 1,000 more yards this year than Ryan Tannehill. Deshaun Watson led the league with 4,823 yards,
yep.
Okay? Deshaun Watson was on a bad team, and he just it was throw all the time. He did not have a running game with him. Tannehill does have a running game with him. And so his overall numbers aren't as big, 38-19. But he's fifth in the league in yards per attempt. That's 7.9. He's fifth in quarterback rating, 106.5. You know, 33 touchdowns to 7 picks. I think he was, fourth, fifth in touchdowns. So, I mean, where it matters, he was elite. And like you said, late in games. Excuse me.
Bless you, Joe.
Gosh, got so excited defending Ryan Tannehill. I got a little flustered there.
It's okay.
I feel better.
I'm glad you feel better. We all feel better watching that Titans offense yesterday after the showing in Green Bay. They rebounded in a big way yesterday. And I got to tell you, there's another guy. Tannehill's going to get a lot of love today. Henry's going to get a lot of love today. But there's another guy on this Titans offense that also hit a milestone yesterday. We'll talk about him when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
One for two touchdowns, throwing for one today. Gonna go deep. Down the middle of the field it is. Caught by A.J. Brown.
What a great throw by Ryan Tannehill. A terrific route. That is an amazing route by A.J. Brown, and I can't understand for the life of me how Houston opened up the middle of the field.
A.J. Brown came up clutch many times, even before the 54-yard bomb that he caught there. Can you just talk about the focus that he had out there today? It seemed like he was really on point.
You know, that's what this league is, guys. You know, I mean, your best players have to play great for you to win. It's been the same before I came into the league as a player, and it'll be the same when I leave as a coach. Your best player's got to play good each week for you to win. And then A.J. certainly did, and as did others.
A huge day yesterday for A.J. Brown. 10 catches, 151 yards, one touchdown. We talked about the 52-yard reception to put the Titans in field goal range. A great throw by Tannehill, a great route by A.J. Brown. And A.J. Brown yesterday surpasses the 1,000-yard mark. As a receiver, he becomes the 11th wide receiver in NFL history to have 1,000 yards in each of his first two seasons in the NFL. So another big day, a big milestone for A.J. Brown, in addition to Derrick Henry yesterday reaching the 1,000-yard mark on the season. And Joe, I mean, he was huge yesterday. 10 catches, 151 yards, like I said, on 11 targets. So the Titans looked his way often. And you thought early on, like we talked about it last week, with A.J. Brown, and it seems like either once or twice a week now in games, he takes a hit low, and he goes down, and he gets up hobbling. He's limping around. The first drive of the game for the Titans, A.J. Brown catches the ball over the middle. He gets hit, and he stays on the ground for a while. And I was thinking, oh, man, like that looks worse than it normally does. He gets up. He hobbles. Obviously, is able to come back in the game. So when you factor in that it's pretty obvious A.J. Brown is dealing with an injury right now with his ankle, and it's been tough for him to get out there and run on it every week. The fact that he's still doing this and still being this productive is even more impressive. It's been a heck of a stretch here of just gutting it out by A.J. Brown.
Yeah, he usually, has a little bit of a time in a game and then has that. That was like right away, and then you're like, ooh, well, maybe this is going to be the game that it actually keeps him on the sideline or really limits him, but he finds a way to bounce back from it. And obviously, there's no break. I mean, there's a guy who could – there's a lot of guys – on this team and other teams who could really use a break this week, but he keeps plugging along. And as you said, I mean, you're talking about a guy, and there's one guy in the history of this franchise who has had 1,000-yard receiving seasons in his first two seasons. Can you name that guy?
No, I cannot.
Bill Grohman. Oh. 60 and 61. So, it doesn't happen much. It doesn't really happen a lot in the NFL either. You know, and when you talk about 2,000 plus 18 plus TD receptions, it's a very short list. Brown and DK Metcalf are both on it, but the rest of that list is, you know, Odell Beckham, AJ Green, Julio Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, John Jefferson, and John Jefferson, you know, San Diego Chargers, late 70s, Marcus Colston. So
it's pretty good company.
That's the entire list of people who've done it. And again, with AJ Brown, it's kind of like what we were talking about last segment with Tannehill. So Tannehill, some people look at it and say, well, you know, 15th in the league, 3,800 yards. But that's where, I mean, overall, it's obviously beneficial. You have offensive balance. It helps everyone. But that does take away. Derrick Henry, the focus on him, takes away some bottom line from Tannehill. And that's the same thing with A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, a different offense, he's probably not 16th in yards. You know, he probably has more than 70 catches, but that's what he is in this offense. And still, if you watch him play, you can't tell me that he's not, you know, again, one of the rising young stars in the league and moving up the list of best receivers in the league.
Absolutely. And he surpasses the 1,000 yard mark, and Corey Davis, not quite so much yesterday. It was a tough one for Corey Davis yesterday. 5 catches for 39 yards, had a few more drops sprinkled in there as well. He falls just short of the 1,000-yard mark. So we were wondering, could you have a 2,000-yard rusher and then two separate 1,000-yard receivers? Corey Davis doesn't quite get there. And although he had some bigger moments later in the game and made some big catches later in the game, two or three passes yesterday that Corey Davis would definitely like to have back.
Yeah, no doubt. It was surprising to see him, drop passes because that's been something that he's had here and there earlier in his career, but he's really locked that down this year. So surprising. I will say this in his defense: he had a daughter born this week, and you can sit there and say, "Okay, I'm gonna go get my sleep over here, and good luck with the baby," but you don't get sleep the first week that you have a child or the first few weeks that you have a child. So I don't know. I'm not saying I have no idea if that had any impact, but man, when someone, I think about that stuff when, you know, like a pro athlete has a child and then has to play a game like right after that. It's like, I promise you that guy did not get sleep the last few days. It just doesn't happen. So no, maybe that's a factor, but regardless, you know, that catch he had late was huge. It's too bad for him. And Tannehill said, used the term sick to his stomach, that Davis couldn't get to 1,000. You know, it would have been big for him. You know, a guy who's going to free agency. Not that what he did this year is diminished, but it just would have been a nice milestone for him and kind of another signifier that he, you know, has really emerged as a better player this year. But we know he has.
Yeah, and it just kind of shows where this Titans offense is right now, just based on the situation with injuries and just the way the game plan unfolds. Corey Davis and A.J. Brown yesterday targeted a total of 22 times. Everybody else targeted 5 times. So you're talking about two receivers. When they're throwing the ball, it's more than likely going A.J. Brown's way or Corey Davis's way. I think Ferkser had 2 targets. Jonnu Smith had 2 targets yesterday. And Nick Westbrook had 1 target yesterday. So not much of a secret where the Titans are going with the ball offensively when they're throwing it. But Brown and Davis, anyway, have been able to get open, and both had really impressive seasons. I mean, Davis finishes with 984 yards. So you're right there at that mark. You didn't quite get the two guys having 1,000 yards. But the 1-2 threat that they've got right now on offense at the receiver position, you feel better about this than you have in a long time heading into the playoffs. I mean, that right now, this 1-2 punch that they have, this offense, I know Corey Davis had a tough day yesterday, but you feel great about those two guys as your 1-2.
Yeah, and this brings up, when you bring that up, you know, 22 targets and then five for everybody else. I mean, this was another day. We talked earlier in the show about this offensive line and still Derrick Henry doing ridiculous things, and those guys have been able to execute. But, you know, clearly, like, Jonnu Smith is a guy who I think his season has taken a dramatic turn with the offensive line injuries, yep. You know, what it could have been. And I think that's just probably not going to change. You know, they're going to sneak him out and try to get him some opportunities here and there, but a lot of times he has to stay in. I do think, you know, the big thing to watch this week, again, Adam Humphries, we'll see. I mean, concussion stuff, you just don't know. But that would be big. I still believe with one more player out there that you could look at. I mean, they, you know, no targets for Batson or Raymond yesterday. I mean, those guys, you know, they're going to be up and down. If they had Humphries out there, there's another – I think, you know, consistent, the guy who would get 5 to 7 targets and would make things even a little bit more difficult to deal with this offense.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD texts in and says, so if this is the best season by a Titans quarterback and a Titans running back, shouldn't this conversation turn to, could this have been statistically one of the top 20 to 25 offenses in the history of the NFL? Joe, what do you think about that?
Yeah. I think so. First of all, when you talk about comparisons, this is the most productive offense in franchise history.
Yeah.
This set the record for yardage, more than 6,300. I think 6,337. I wrote it in my column, but it's 6,300 plus. That 61 Oilers team with Blanda and Bill Grohman and company, you know, people couldn't deal with that offense at all. 6,288 yards. You know, 513 points scored, still the record in 61, but this team, 491. So, you know, look, if you want to talk about scoring, I mean, the Bills and the Packers ended up scoring more than the Titans this year, you know, so, and the Bills put 56 on the Dolphins yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Just to light it. So they end up number one. So I would say yes. The problem is it's like, then start listing them, you know. Okay, so where does this rank compared to, like, the Chiefs of the last couple years?
Right.
And the Bills of this year and the Packers of this year. And then we'll go back and talk about Niners and Dolphins and what, you know. I mean, it's – and then you have to account for the change in era because, again, I mentioned Marino winning the MVP in 1984 with numbers that were outrageous at the time and now are very good. You know, so you have to – that's where it's really hard. But I will say, I mean – this offense, you know, there was one really interesting stat with allowing sacks, and this was a good stat from the Titans PR staff. No team had produced the 3,500 net passing yards, 2,500 net rushing yards, and allowing 25 or fewer sacks. So, you know, this team actually did the yardage easily. How many times did Tannehill get sacked yesterday? That's actually
I know of at least one.
Yeah, I'm finding it right now. So he got two. So there you go. So I mean, I know some of these are like these, you know, you find they're sort of weird stats, but that's an example of, you know, think about the balance involved there. 3,500 plus, 2,500 plus. You know, it's one of the most unique offenses ever, I think, because it really is lethal, has an elite quarterback, but then also has one of the all-time great running back seasons as part of it. And then, you know, you allow 25 or fewer sacks. I don't know if it would really rank top 20 if you went through everything, but that would be an interesting exercise to do because it's in some ways – I can't think of an offense quite like this. The quarterback running back combo. And again, an offense with so much pressure on it because it has a bad, very bad defense complementing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an incredibly unique set of circumstances. And in a way, it was almost fitting that the way they had to go out and get it done and win the division yesterday was by the offense making a huge play at the end to set up the game-winning field goal by Sam Sloman. So, another great performance offensively from pretty much everybody involved yesterday. Ryan Tannehill, great. Derrick Henry, fantastic on the ground. And A.J. Brown, another big day as well to give the Titans their first division title since 2008. So what do you think about this Titans team heading into playoffs. How much appreciation do you take and satisfaction do you take in winning the division for the first time in since 2008? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's all coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. And we here at ESPN 1025 The Game have your chance to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game. Listen in at 8:45 a.m. every morning this week for the keyword of the day, and then text that keyword in to the game text line at 615-737-1025, and you will be entered for a chance to win. The winner will be announced on Thursday, January the 14th. So make sure that you are listening in for today's keyword. So we've been talking about the division. The Titans get it done for the first time since 2008 with the 41-38 win against Houston yesterday. And Joe, we mentioned it before the season. Obviously, it was going to be a different looking season with COVID and everything coming along with it. And you didn't quite know what the playoffs were going to look like in terms of home field advantage. But regardless of that, we both agreed it's still a huge accomplishment on the table for the Titans to be able to win the division. They go out this season, they're able to get it done, they finish 11-5 and win the division for the first time since 2008. What sort of an accomplishment is this for the Titans? How much pride should Titans fans take in this accomplishment, winning the division yesterday?
Well, I mean, you take pride any time that you can hang a banner. And this is hanging a banner, you know. This is a legit banner that can be hung. And it's the third time that the Titans have ever won the AFC South. So, I mean, this doesn't happen too often. This is tied for the fifth best record the Titans have ever had in Nashville. So, I mean, this is a special season. I agree with what Vrabel said after the game yesterday. He said, we're not going to apologize for winning 11 games in the National Football League. I mean, it's an achievement, and this is a very good conference. This is the superior conference for sure. You know, a 10-6 team didn't even make the playoffs this year. So, yeah, it's a big deal. This is something to celebrate, and it's unfortunate that you wait this long for a home playoff game, and it's not going to be quite, you know, it's not going to be close to what it would have been in a normal year. But you still get that home playoff game in Nashville. You still – will have an atmosphere and a reward, you know, for what you did. So, I mean, it's, again, you hang a banner, you celebrate it. And it wasn't a perfect year. It's just a strange year because it's just such a Jekyll and Hyde team, really. You know, it's on one side so good, on one side so bad. But 11 wins, 5 losses, that's a very good year.
Ryan Porth, you've seen a lot of Titans football. You've seen the ups. You've seen the downs.
Plenty of them.
Everything in between. When you factor in everything that Joe just talked about with the COVID season and how the defense has looked for the majority of this season, what does the accomplishment of being able to battle through that, get to 11-5, and win the division for the first time since 2008 mean to Titans fans?
I think it means a lot, truthfully. You know, going into the game yesterday, I did not really have an expectation for how it would feel. I think a lot of it was worrying about how the entire team would play, how they would look going into the playoffs, more so than the sole fact of winning the division. But I will say in the fourth quarter, I felt as a Titans fan a ton of pressure for that team to come up with a victory and win the division. Like it wasn't everything about Derrick Henry getting 2,000 yards went out the door for me when Houston took the lead. When Houston took the lead and they were making it interesting, I did not care about the 2,000 yards. I cared about winning the division. And I think some of it played into, okay, well, if you lose, you have to go to Buffalo.
Yeah.
And you knew the scenarios at that point. And it kind of feels like picking your poison right now of do you want Baltimore at home or Buffalo on the road? Because both teams are red hot. But taking the playoff matchups out of it, winning the division was a really big moment yesterday, especially the way they did it in dramatic fashion, needing big plays from their big players to bail out the defense. As a Titans fan, that felt really, really, really good. My heart didn't feel great, but just overall felt great.
Yeah, and look, I think sometimes we get lost, and obviously the story on this Titans team, the ending of it, has yet to be written. We'll see what happens in the playoffs, and we're going to spend a lot of time this week, obviously, breaking down the matchup against the Ravens. But this is an accomplishment. I mean, this, like you said, Joe, this does not happen very often. And you look at this Titans team, what they've had to go through, the fact that the defense has been as poor as it's been, and you're still able to fight through and win the division anyway, in a year where the AFC, I mean, you look around at Indy and Cleveland and Pittsburgh, Baltimore coming on as of late, all these different teams that are in the mix, to be able to get it done and win the division in a season like this where you've had to navigate everything you've had to go through from a COVID perspective, just everything involved, I mean, it's special. So I think sometimes we have a hard time of separating, you know, what happens in the regular season and then looking ahead to the playoffs, and I get it. That's how sports work. You're ultimately judged on what you do in the playoffs. But this by itself, regardless of what happens from here, if you're the Titans, this is something you'll look back on and remember, winning the division for the first time in 12 years.
Yeah, and I didn't see what you were talking about earlier on the show, Robbie, the Sunday Night Football pregame. But, you know, also take some enjoyment in Indy taking an L, Take some enjoyment. And, I mean, I was shocked going the year. Like the Athletic, we do, you know, everybody makes their picks. I mean, vast majority of Athletic writers picked the Colts. I picked the Titans to win the division, but not that many people did. I was shocked it was that overwhelming. But the majority of NFL media thought the Titans were going to win the division, or the Colts were going to win the division. The Titans win it. The Colts fans have to, agonize through the end of that game. And it means something. It means something to have a division championship in this league. It also, means a better matchup too. and it means the home playoff game, not as much, but again, you get the home playoff game, you get the better matchup. There's usually, I mean, very rarely do you go in the playoffs and say, oh, this is great. This is going to be a piece of cake. That might have been the case if the Dolphins won yesterday. If the Dolphins won and the Titans were welcoming them in for the Tannehill revenge game, but regardless, you still ended up in better shape. And this is what – I mean, when you talk about something for years, Titans talked about, okay, getting out of the 9-7 thing, finally winning the division, finally doing this. When you talk and talk and talk about it and you can't quite get there, when you do, then you should enjoy it.
And, we haven't even really brought this up, but the Titans avoided, obviously, the highest of pressure situations yesterday heading into the game. Because they knew by the time the game kicked off yesterday that they were in the playoffs. The Dolphins just got absolutely hammered by Buffalo yesterday. So you knew going into the game that you were going to be in. The question is, what was the matchup going to be? What was the seeding going to be? And the Titans able to get it done, win the division for the first time since 2008. I mean, just think about the way that the offenses that you'd be going up against match up, comparing Baltimore and Buffalo. Like, if you lose that game, I don't think anybody needs to feel good about going up against the Buffalo Bills right now. I know the Ravens have played a lot better as of late, but the difference in that field goal going in and winning that game and winning the division in your first-round matchups, I mean, that's part of, like, the just dismay on Colts fans' face yesterday is, man, we got to go to Buffalo and play against that team and that offense and how well they're humming along right now. That's a huge swing yesterday. The Titans are able to get that done on that final drive. Like you said, Joe, I don't know if you ever go into a playoff game thinking, all right, this is going to be in the bag. But I certainly like the matchup for the Titans a whole lot better against the Ravens than I do against the Bills.
Yeah, and, the Colts, I mean, they took an L, got beat pretty handily at home by the Ravens early in the year when the Ravens were playing well, and then the Ravens were not playing well, and now they are again. So I don't know if, no one's celebrating the Ravens. But, yeah, the Bills look so ridiculous right now. And to think about going up there doesn't sound very appealing. I think you could make the case that those two teams, Ravens and Bills, are the hottest two in the AFC. The Ravens have had a soft schedule down the stretch, to help them. But, the Bills look right now, because their defense seems to be, pretty good again. They figure that out. I think they look like the biggest threat to Kansas City. So, avoiding them, avoiding Kansas City, those are both good things to do if you're in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, and you look around, I mean, the matchup against Baltimore, I agree. They look really, really good right now. They've been playing a lot better as of late. But if you're the Titans, I do think there's a formula that's there. And honestly, like if they go out and lose that game yesterday, outside of playing a perfect game offensively, I don't know what the formula is against the Bills on the defensive side of the ball. I get it. They had success against Josh Allen earlier this year. There were some absences in that game for the Bills, obviously for the Titans as well. But that, I mean, the Bills' offense right now, they're just playing on a different level. I mean, this is not the same Bills team as it was earlier in the year. So, I mean, that's a big swing in the game yesterday. So, from, you know, just the sentimental value of hanging up a banner, winning a division for the first time in 12 years, and all the importance that comes with just that on the field, I mean, that was more important to me yesterday is getting the proper matchup or at least the better matchup heading into the playoffs. Now, we'll see how it goes. I mean, obviously, Baltimore is capable of coming in here and beating the Titans. But, again, I think from an on-the-field standpoint, getting the four seed locked down and getting that 4-5 matchup was huge, and we'll see what happens on Sunday against the Ravens. But, like, that matchup against Buffalo, if I'm the Titans, would scare the crap out of me with the way that offense is playing right now.
Right, and just think about the psychology difference, too.
Yeah.
You know, today you can enjoy Derrick Henry having 250 and Tannehill season and all those things and what this offense is. Otherwise, you'd be talking about you just lost to a 4-11 team. You blew a huge lead. You know, you blew a two-score lead. You let them score 20 points in a row. You let them score in the last eight drives, all this stuff. I guess it would have been nine if they would have scored in overtime. And now you're 10-6, you're going to Buffalo, the hottest team in the league. Yay. I mean, a 10-6 playoff team, which still would be the Titans' best outcome since 2008.
Yeah.
Best record, you know, but it would be very doom and gloom. There would be very little sunshine. You know, you made the clutch plays and you still have that hope of, hey, maybe this team can just get the ball last and make a run on some teams, can outscore some of these teams in the playoffs. If you were going to Buffalo today after blowing that, not even having a chance to hang that banner, still having just two AFC South titles, you know, in your possession and not one for 12 years, it would be so different. So, I mean, I think that's got to be an impact on confidence too and just momentum. It's important to have momentum going to the playoffs. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes a team will limp in and then get going in the playoffs, but you'd much rather have it than not.
So what do you think of the matchup for the Titans against the Ravens coming up on Wild Card Weekend in the NFL? Can the Titans get it done for the third time against Baltimore in the past year? Let us know on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're looking ahead to the matchup for the Titans against the Ravens after they win 41-38 yesterday against the Texans. They wrap up the AFC South, win it for the first time since 2008. What do you think of the matchup for the Titans against the Ravens? Can they knock them off for the third time in the past year? Let us know on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler in Berry Hill texts in and says, the game against the Texans pretty much summed up everything we knew about this team. They have to play a flawless game to beat a good team. You can't turn the ball over, and you have to convert in all your red zone opportunities. If momentum gets away from this team, the defense can't seem to stop the bleeding. They have a formula to win, and they have to execute that formula to perfection. So, Joe, what do you think of yesterday's game against the Texans, basically perfectly summing up what the 2020/2021 Titans have been all season long?
I mean, if someone told any of us it's going to be 41-38 final, would we have blinked?
No.
Last week? I mean, I wouldn't have. I'm like, yeah, okay, sounds about right. Yeah, I mean, it's an elite offense, and it's an opposite of elite defense. So I will contend that you would rather watch your team try to race to the 40 points it needs than watch your team try to hold a team under 20 because it has to do that. But it would sure be nice. Look, if this ends early – of at least the AFC Championship game, then we will go right back to saying, my goodness, if you just made a couple better choices in the offseason, maybe you have an okay defense and maybe this team makes a run. But until they are done, until they don't make a run, you know, you still at least have this offense that gives you hope. And then, you know, defensively, I mean, look, they made some plays. They had some sequences yesterday. They had four sacks yesterday. They got the three straight incompletions when I thought maybe Deshaun Watson might just go beat them yesterday. You know, they did some things, but you just how much can you expect? How many more good things can they do in a given game against a playoff team?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's going to be the question heading into this matchup against Baltimore. How defensively can you hold up? And I think in terms of matchups, like if I'm the Titans, I probably feel as good about this matchup as maybe any other one that could have been out there in the playoffs outside of the Dolphins from a defensive standpoint because, I mean, you've got two examples that you can point to in the last year of how you've been able to defend Lamar Jackson, defend that offense, and I thought even this year in the 30-24 win in overtime, they had their moments where they played really well on defense and did a good job of limiting how effective Lamar Jackson can be. So it's interesting to have that in your back pocket this week heading into the matchup against the Ravens while also recognizing that it's very, very hard in the NFL to beat a team three times in a row. And it's not in Baltimore. It's back at home this year. And I know for a lot of Titans fans, that's going to bring up some bad memories of 2000 and then the 2008 season when Baltimore comes in and they wreck your dreams in the playoffs. I realize that's going to be a talking point largely this week, but it is interesting to kind of find that balance as a fan of, all right, you've had some success against this team. Defensively, it's probably a better matchup for you just based on the limitations that you have on that side of the ball, but also recognizing that in today's NFL, it is so difficult to beat a team three times in a row.
Yeah, it's an interesting, you know, the history obviously here is, you know, these teams have played four times in the playoffs and the road team has won all four. So that means, you know, the lower seed has won all four of those games, including, again, last year's stunner, number six beats number one. But obviously the Ravens pulled a couple stunners before that. So that history, like you said, will be talked about. But then you also have the recent history of this matchup being good for the Titans. Look, you would rather face Lamar Jackson than Deshaun Watson or Aaron Rodgers or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, these quarterbacks who are high volume, quick release, spray the ball around the field passers. You'd rather face Lamar Jackson than those guys. That said, he's playing well. And, you know, in this, again, not good teams, although not all of them terrible defenses, but five-game winning streak, they've averaged 267.4 rushing yards per game.
Yeah.
They had so yesterday they outgained the Bengals what 525 to 195. That's pretty ridiculous. So you know they are rolling and that running the Titans have matched up really well and done a good job. And like you said, Robbie, they have the blueprint that does not guarantee you success every time you play them. And I thought that the Ravens in the meeting this year had some good things going. Then the Titans, to their credit, really turned it around in the second half and got it done. They know how to do it. That does not make it easy to continue repeating it.
And it's interesting, too, to look at the Ravens, and you brought up their schedule, and they've been outstanding on offense the last 5 weeks. I mean, 27 points is the fewest amount of points that they've scored in a game, and that came in Week 16 against the Giants. But you're talking about the Cowboys, who are not a good team, a great win against the Browns in an incredibly entertaining game, 47-42. You hammer the Jaguars in Week 15, 40-14. The Giants in Week 16, and then you wrap it up with a 38-3, just dominating performance yesterday against Cincinnati. So you feel great if you're the Ravens. The offense, I agree. I think they've gotten back to what their identity is, and that is running the ball and kind of having that power running game in addition to having Lamar Jackson and as dangerous as he is in the backfield. But if you're, you know, a Titans fan, I think one thing you may look at is just look at the schedule and say, all right, I mean, those teams that you've been playing the last 5 weeks, with the exception of the Browns, have been pretty awful if you're the Ravens. So I'm interested to see how much of it is the Ravens getting back to what their identity is and playing at a higher level offensively, and how much of it is just the fact that you've been going up against some really awful teams during this stretch, with the exception of the Browns.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's fair. You know, the Giants, defensively pretty good team this year, but and like you said, the Browns, they won that crazy shootout. That was a big key in all of this. because they obviously had – they have their struggles. They lost those three games in a row. I mentioned earlier, you know, they go into Indy and they really lock it down defensively, run the ball 24-10. But then, you know, you lose that game in New England and right before the Titans come in and beat you in overtime. And then, of course, close game, second close loss to the Steelers. Good teams, but they just, you know, offensively, you know, they really were just not good in that stretch. I mean, you think about you're averaging less than 20 points in that four-game stretch, and you're wondering what's going on. I just think confidence-wise, regardless of opponent, maybe it's a little bit of fool's gold, but confidence-wise, Lamar Jackson is throwing the ball really well. Again, you know, when you talk about 270 rush yards a game, that's just ridiculous. What they were doing last year, it looks like what they're doing now. So that has to be – I mean, they're red hot, you know, and, yes, yeah, schedule feeds into it, but they got – the confidence back that they were lacking. I think they were even lacking some when they played the Titans the first time.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texts in and says, the Titans have survived three personnel strikes up until now with Isaiah Wilson, Vic Beasley, and Jadeveon Clowney. The postseason is where those strikes show up, and the lack of depth will be costly. Very impressive that they've made it this far with those strikes on their resume, though. Don't get me wrong. I'll still be there at the game on Sunday, just a little pessimistic and hoping for a surprise win.
A surprise win?
Yeah.
How about that?
I mean, the Ravens home right game, now, favored in the game. The last time, the opening that line last night, the Ravens were a 3.5-point favorite in this game, which I'm not going to say was surprising, given the fact that I think the Ravens have been pretty heavily favored in both of the last two matchups against the Titans, but, you know, the lower seed being favored in the game. How about that?
I'm a little surprised by it. Honestly, if you would have said guess the line, I would have guessed either team by a point to a point and a half either way. I'm surprised anyone is more than a 3-point favorite to start in this game. But, yeah, the Ravens, you know, they look very good right now.
They do. And Lamar Jackson, I mean, if you're the Titans – it sounds crazy, like with as well as Lamar Jackson has played the last 5 weeks. I mean, he's been outstanding. And like you said, Joe, looks a lot like the Lamar Jackson and the offense in general that they looked like last year when they were the best offense in the NFL. But I do think if you're the Titans defensively, just based on the game plans that you've been able to diagnose and come up with the last couple of times you've played him, I think there's confidence there. And you talked about the confidence of the Ravens heading into this game and how they're clicking on all cylinders right now. I think if you're the Titans, defensively, even though it's been horrible for most of the year, you've got to have at least some confidence heading into this game that you have what it takes to shut down that offense just based on the fact that a lot of these guys have been a part of it the last two times they've done it in the past calendar year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one, they've done a really good job of containing Lamar Jackson and just, you know, just a good job in general against the run game, which can be so overwhelming. You know, one guy who I noticed a lot yesterday and have noticed a lot last couple of weeks, David Long Jr. flying around the field. This will be an interesting, you know, he's also a guy who, you know, in space, he's got great speed. Again, he's very aggressive and active. Jayon Brown, they lost him, of course, in that Ravens game. And this is one of those games where you've got to really, at times, you've got to really be stout up front, and you got to have the right fits at linebacker and all these things. So he's a guy to watch. He was great in this matchup last year, if you remember. They lost Jayon Brown in New England. He'd been banged up. David Long comes in as a rookie and is flying all over the field. It's going to take that kind of playmaking and effort. A lot of it is effort and just, you know, knowing where your help is and all those things that if the Titans can – replicated again, I think they're going to have a chance. But you also still, I mean, Lamar Jackson can still hit you downfield. And of course, they like to take the deep shot. And they, you know, that's something where, like, if you're playing a Rivers or Roethlisberger this week, it's like, oh, you can't let him dink you to death. You know, this guy can hit you with the deep shot. And he did one time, of course, in that meeting in Baltimore.
Exactly, and you'll have to be aware of that for sure if you're the Titans on defense. Also, if you're Lamar Jackson and you're going up against the Titans, have to be cognizant of making that big mistake like we saw earlier this year with the interception as well. So We'll have a lot of time this week to talk about this Titans-Raven matchup. It's going to be a huge game coming up on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. When we come back, our man Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us. We'll get into the Titans game against the Texans with him and look ahead to the matchup against the Ravens. All of that coming up on the table. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.